Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Hi, guess what? I have been in conversations now with someone and people, okay, yeah, who looked at me dead in the eye, like, saw in my ear, and they were like, "Mili, be so serious, ne? Be so serious. You believe that someone is going to come in the clouds? Really? Come on, man. Aye, come on." You hear the tone? Just like that. And this made me realize a few things, like two of which are that we have opposing views and very strong views at that, you know, on either side. And these diametrically opposed views are very different, very, very different. And you find we would see the holders of each view, ne, vehemently believe what they believe. So it is important that we put our feelings aside and focus on what the Bible says on this matter. No matter how crazy it sounds or how duped you may think someone else is, ne, let's help each other out. Because it is a matter of life and a matter of death as well. And this morning we are joined by the young Rudy, who we have on the line, and he's going to be taking us through this as we navigate it together this morning. Good morning, Rudy wa Morena Mulapisi. How are you today?
Good morning, Sister Millicent. I'm well. I'm doing quite well, and thank you for having me on studio.
We are very happy to have you here. We can't wait for the segment that we are going to be sharing over the next 2 days. Let's start with a very personal question to you, Muruti Wena, as wa Morena. Why do you believe that Jesus is going to come again?
I love the way you personalize it by saying Wena. The main reason why I believe that Jesus is coming again is because when you look in history, there's only one historical book
Muruti, we have stopped hearing you. I don't know if maybe it's the network. If it's a network issue, we might need to reconsider and try and reach you a different way. I don't know if that's something you can confirm for us, but we started by just throwing out the question to the pastor, Uwuthi. Why does he believe that Jesus is going to come again? When, as you're listening to me, Mthambe Chumiyaka, what are your beliefs? Because we could all be Christian, but we have noticed that not all Christians believe exactly the same again. So now what do you hold as true, even if you don't know that it's true? Because we don't, yes, we know that, we say that it's true, but you don't know until it has happened that it was inyan. What do you hold as true with regards to the coming of Christ? Do you believe that vele that is going to happen? Or do you find yourself wavering, and maybe you just do because you're in a community where that's what people believed, so you are like, okay, if this is what they do, yeah, all right, I'm gonna do the same. But personally, where do you stand? Ruti, you are back, welcome back. Please do join and share with us your response about that personal take.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry for that. My network is fine and cut all of a sudden.
Okay.
I was saying that there is a book which is the explaining how the book is accurate and stuff like that, that archaeologists and historians have seen that this book is super accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of accuracy and precision with it. The narratives written in that book, the historical narratives and the historical backgrounds in that book are super accurate. And the prophecies also happened well in time. And another thing with this book is that it also entails or has a prophecy of a man called Jesus, the Messiah, coming again for the second time. It narrates him coming for the first time, and then it says that he will come again as a prophecy now. And I don't find any problem with me believing that book because it has been accurate. In fact, that very same book says that it is the word of God. So for me, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, mainly because it's there in this very accurate, precise historical book called the Bible, which is also the word of God. And another thing which I've seen in life is what I would want to call instinctive nature of human beings. I mean, I know you've been through this also, Sister Millicent, where when you are hurt or when you're scared, you shout, "Mama!" The idea of wanting to, the idea of wanting someone to come and save you, someone to come to the rescue. I mean, we can't ignore that. We cannot really ignore that, that fact that within ourselves as human beings, we actually want someone to come and rescue us. And the Bible itself says, no, that very someone that you are crying for help to and saying, "I've been battered by sin and I need to be rescued," is Jesus Christ. So that is the reason why I believe in the second coming.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense. The rescue part, I know, that hit home. But we've got so many different beliefs, and even amongst the Christian community, movies have been quite central in their way of sharing what's going to happen, if the world is going to end and how it's going to end and all that stuff. So let's go the movie route, the idea that aliens are going to take over the world. And if aliens are going to take over the world, that doesn't sound good. And so human beings must then do whatever it takes to prevent aliens from taking our dominion. Does this belief in any way relate to the one that you shared that comes from this book that you hold as having the truth?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Thank you for that question. You know what? I believe that Hollywood has a certain aim with whatsoever it does. Firstly, I want us to understand the word alien. What does this word mean? What is the aim behind all these alien movies? Well, when you look at the word alien from Merriam-Webster dictionary, it explains it to be extraterrestrial, strange, or foreign. So in other words, when we are watching these movies and we are told that an alien is coming in 2027, and is only arriving in America, funny enough, we are expecting something. We're expecting something extraterrestrial or foreign, something that we are not used to. So that on its own is a red flag. I mean, who would want to have a foreign person in their own home? Who'd want to have something strange in their own home? In your personal space, in your office where you're working, you wouldn't want to have something strange or foreign. You'd want to keep that thing away. So the very instinct of a human being is to keep it away.
Yes.
And that, when you listen to also to Little Light Studios, explains it as the reverse second coming. Hollywood is playing with the minds of people to say that whatsoever is that is coming on the skies, or an expectations of things that will be coming on skies from the skies, is are aliens. And so we should always keep them away. We should always be afraid of them. We should always push them away, which is the contrary to what the second coming would be. The second coming is focused on making sure that Christ comes and comes to take his people, those ones who he has saved. It is for that main reason. And we shouldn't want to keep Christ away. And we shouldn't want to fear the second coming and attribute it to aliens and alienization and extraterrestrial beings coming to kill us and destroy us.
Sure. Now, also, if you have been, if your mind has been very influenced by the Hollywood media industry, you've got an, in your head, you've got an idea of what an alien looks like. which is always that weird egg head kind of vibe. Maybe it's green, whatever. It's a monster of sorts, yeah? And when you think of an alien, that's what you think about. That's what I think about. Avatar, I don't know. And then you've got...
No, the one with the big eyes.
Yeah, very weird looking. That's the one. And then on the other hand, we have Dibitswang, the UFOs, which are becoming more and more, at least this is what the mainstream media is pushing. All right. And then when you think, okay, if it's Jesus, he's not going to look like those things, right? Because our understanding of the Bible, he's taken on the human form. So he's a man. He looks like a man. He's got the features of a man. He's got a body like we've got bodies. He looks like any other man. And is that what we should then expect when Jesus comes again? Because the other thing that you said that I thought was interesting is the aliens are coming to America. But when it comes to Jesus, he's not going to be located in one specific place. Like, that's not what the Bible teaches, right?
Another interesting fact about the alien aspect is that, like you were mentioning, they have this weird, kind of not appealing look towards them, which is also contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible in Revelation chapter 1 gives us a very distinct appearance of how Jesus looks like and how beautiful he is like. You'd literally want to see him. Everyone would want to see him, not like the aliens who are scary and out there to eat us. You don't want to experience that. And another thing, like we were mentioning, Christ is not here to located in one place. It's actually quite interesting how the Bible explains it. The Bible explains it like lightning. It says, as lightning goes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It shall be seen by every man. Hey. Now, every man doesn't mean every man in America. Every man is every man in the world. So the idea of aliens is only located in America. Hollywood is pushing a certain agenda. Whereas with Christ, he's pushing a different agenda, which is to be seen by every man. Whether you're in China, whether you're in America, whether you're in Iran, whether you're in Botswana, whether in South Africa, whether you're a Christian, every man of every tribe, of every nationality will see Christ. And that is how the Bible actually explains it, which is contrary to what we see in this alien movies from Hollywood.
Sure. When you said that you would want to see this person because of, I guess, how attractive he is, doesn't Isaiah tell us that there's nothing really beautiful about Jesus, or was it speaking only about a particular context, a particular time? Maybe it wasn't talking about his physical features. I don't know.
Yes. So when you look at the book of Isaiah, and Ellen White actually explains this, is that Christ was just a man like you and I. The description, for example, the description of Lucifer, from the book of Ezekiel and book of Isaiah, we are told that he was just a majestic, and he still is a majestic, beautiful being, and he was decorated with emeralds and stones, those different types of stones. But whereas with Christ, when he took the form of man, he took just a normal form, just like you and I. Nothing special with him, nothing actually added to him, nothing like he had goat teeth or diamond teeth, which are different from ours.
Okay.
But now, when you go to Revelation, we now see a different glorified version of him, where it explains how he has a white and stuff like that. Of course, you'd have that because he's also God. Different from when he was on earth, when he was fully man, and he took on the nature of men like you and I, where we don't have white hair and the descriptions that are there in Revelation chapter 1. But when he went to heaven, he assumed that this as part of his nature.
So, and I'm listening to you speaking, I'm thinking, yo, like, people are going to faint dead when Jesus comes again, and then perhaps we see a person of color. Mutomun Sufela, waiting with that white hair, very still wool. What do you think, like, Nje? What do you think that's going to be like for people who have been seeing a white Jesus all their life?
And I'll be shocked. Well, the details of that I can say. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Mm. But the pictures that we've been seeing, if it's different from that, we'll obviously be shocked.
Mm.
We'll literally be shocked. I mean, with people who have a picture of Jesus in their rooms, waking up to see that picture, and then when he comes, we'll be shocked. It is obviously going to be a shock.
It's going to be a shock, shame. Yeah. I hope you won't reject him when he doesn't look like you, and you are like, this must not be Jesus. I mean, what? Why is he dark? Tough luck. But maybe... but maybe we can wrap it up for today with this one, you know. Whether Jesus coming again is actually a good thing or it's a bad thing. Maybe scary, you know. For someone who is ready, it's not supposed to be scary, I guess. But I don't know if people really want Jesus to come again. You know, there's something I came across yesterday. Can I just share it with you before you respond? I came across it. It was on the website of... I saw it on YouTube. It was on the website of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and this is what it says. So we want Jesus to forgive us, but not confront what we're holding on to. We want Jesus to bless our lives, as long as he doesn't disrupt our comfort. We want Jesus to save us from consequences, not from sin itself. We want Jesus to get us into heaven, not transform our hearts here on earth. But that's not how it works. If you want Jesus, it means letting go of the things that cause you to stumble. It means letting him give you a new heart. It means being forgiven of your sins and being confronted and encouraged to leave them behind. It means walking with him daily in the new life he's given you. It's a whole package. You don't get to pick and choose. So it's either you are fully for God or you're fully against God. And I think the Bible also speaks about, and we also talk about that, right? When we compare what used to happen when they used to sacrifice animals after sinning, that you brought one without blemish, and he wants us to be spotless. You know, he wants us to be untainted. The idea that each of us, with all our faults, we're just going to go to heaven as we are. I'm sure you've also heard people maybe in conversations would say, yo, Lomuntu bekaphuza, like they used to drink a lot. Shuthi in heaven, onale spotong sahaye, like there's already a spot where that's where he is, bayaphuza where they are. And it's like, I don't know if that's the picture really of heaven. Can you please just touch on that? Remember, we want to speak on whether it's a good thing that Jesus is coming, or is it scary? Is it a bad thing, considering that a lot of us don't want to really let go of our sins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for adding that last part, of which I'll touch after I answer the question of, is it good or is it bad?
Mm.
The honest answer is, it's good. It's good for each and every one of us. Remember, God loves us. It is for a good reason that Jesus Christ is coming again, because one of the reasons is that sin will forever be cleansed in part of him coming again. But it will be unfortunate that since Christ wants to remove sin, some people would have... Christ would have come while they're still holding on to sin. So unfortunately, they can't be able to go to heaven, which also answers your question. The answer to your question, which I believe is an error, even in our church, is permeating through into our church, called original sin. The idea that you can still go to heaven, Christ can still take you to heaven because you have sin embedded within you. So the only time that you can be cleansed of sin is when he comes, of which is a wrong perspective and wrong idea of who Christ is.
Okay.
Christ actually wants us to be able to yield ourselves daily to him, each and every day while we're still here, so that he may be able to cleanse us and make us righteous, that when he comes, he may just take all of us for a good reason of going to heaven. The book of Titus chapter, I believe it's Titus chapter 2, tells us that we have hope in the second coming. The reason why we have hope in the second coming is that through all these trials and tribulations that we've been going through, trying to refine our faith, through all these temptations that we've been going through, rejecting them, knowing that we will be refined, we have hope that at the end of it all, we have a master who will come and fetch us and take us to heaven for a very good reason. And we actually see, to answer your second question, where you give an example where the person who drinks and we are told they have a spot in heaven. We actually see this error a lot. Like I said, it even permeates through the church, where we even say that the angels have carried him to heaven, or they have places in heaven, or things like, I believe it's rest in peace, stuff like that. It comes back from the idea that when a person dies, they go to heaven, first of all.
Okay.
And the second point is that heaven is for everyone.
Mm.
Yeah,
hey,
which
for
is
everyone.
Not actually true.
Mm, 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 mm,
heaven
mm.
is not for
everyone.
Yes. Heaven is for everyone without sin.
Hey.
Heaven is not for sinners. What do I mean by this? What I mean is that you cannot live your entire life in sin and then expect that you'll be in heaven.
Mm.
Knowingly that you're committing sin, knowingly that you're being you're committing iniquity, knowing that you are transgressing against God, and then you just say, no, you know what, when Christ comes, he will take me to heaven.
Yep.
That is an error. And that is where we want to shift our focus from and say, fix your life while you still can right now. Fix your things with Christ. Ask him to help you to fix your life. That when he comes, he may just take you up to heaven. You know, when you shared with me that statement from the website, from the
yes.
church website,
I remembered
this other post that I once saw.
Mm.
So this person was basically making a joke saying that just when you're about to say the vows, then you hear the trumpets. Of course, the joke may sound a bit harmless.
What vows are those? Like you're getting married or what?
It sounds like a person who's not happy to go to heaven.
Oh, so you are getting married?
Yeah, marriage vows. I have been married. Yeah. And then you get a sentence. So deep within that, you get an idea that heaven is going to be restrictive.
Mm.
When Christ comes, it's not going to be good for us. Remember, Christ, when he comes, the Bible tells us that there'll be trumpets.
Mm.
So already we have this idea that when he comes, we won't be able to enjoy life. I won't be able to enjoy marriage and the benefits of marriage.
Mm.
I won't be able to enjoy this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Of which is not the full picture of Christ. Christ is coming for a good reason.
Wow.
And we should really, really appreciate it.
Nah.
If Christ would have never come, if Christ would not come the second time, I'm telling you, everyone would die. Literally, everyone would die. Even the 144,000 would perish because he needs to come and make sure that he saves us from sin.
No, I think I love that. For today, we're going to leave it here. You opened quite a number of perspectives that I think we can continue with tomorrow. And to you, my dear friend, don't be sad. Ooh, see, you want to live life and you feel like Christ coming is going to be an interference to the happiness that you want to experience this side of heaven. I think we'll definitely touch a little bit more on that tomorrow morning at 7:30. Rutima Wamorena, you have a beautiful day today as you continue worshiping and ministering. Thank you for opening the segment today. We will continue tomorrow morning.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.